Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Thank you for your commitment and your love for Bolivia, for the work that is being done there by the Bolivian Baptist Union, by so many people in there, and by Canadian Baptist Ministries, too. I wanted to take your attention back to the passage that that was read for us. And remember what happens at the beginning of the passage and at the end of the passage. In verse 1, the priests and the teachers of the law are looking for ways to arrest Jesus. In verse 11, 10 and 11 really, the priests are celebrating the fact that one of Jesus' close friends, one of his disciples, has agreed to betray him. So this passage is surrounded by two clouds of death and betrayal. Two clouds that are gathering over Jesus and are certainly going to affect what happens to his life. But what we find between these two dark clouds of death and betrayal is surprising, it's extravagant, and it is beautiful. We tend to forget, or we don't pay attention, enough attention to this story, but it actually is one of the gospel's most important stories. For Jesus himself says, "Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." What this unnamed woman did meant so much to Jesus that he declared it necessary for everyone who hears his gospel in Bolivia, in Canada, in any continent, in any time, for everyone of his disciples, including you and me, to hear this story, to learn from it, and to be shaped by this story. So what do we do with such an important story? Well, we pay close attention to it. We try to unpack it a little bit. We have already identified the shadows of death in verses 1 and 11. In this story, we also see an unnamed woman. We see Jesus, and we see some witnesses, including the disciples. Mark's invitation to empathize, to put ourselves in this woman's shoes. Do you say that in English? Put yourself in their shoes? Yes, sorry, sometimes I get the sayings mixed up. But anyway, to empathize with this woman is so strong. He's inviting us to be in her place. Consider this. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like your gifts, your contribution, were not appreciated? Has that ever happened to you? This can happen at work, right? I mean, sometimes the boss doesn't acknowledge your effort. Sometimes our colleagues don't see or don't appreciate all the work that we've done. This can happen at home. I mean, that's why we go to marriage counseling sometimes, right? Because we don't know how to appreciate, or we don't feel appreciated enough. This happens. And this happens at church, right? Not here, of course, but in many churches it happens. What happens then when we feel like our gifts are not appreciated? We sometimes develop a sense of inadequacy, right? Or sometimes we develop this sense or this desire to prove ourselves worthy, to make ourselves recognized. Or sometimes we just create a distance. so that the rejection, the lack of appreciation won't hurt as much, right? These are ways we cope with this lack of appreciation. Again, we empathize with this woman because giving our gifts makes us vulnerable. It is through this vulnerability we so well understand that we can begin to understand this story. See, let's imagine what must have been going on in this woman's mind just before anointing Jesus so lavishly. Maybe she asked herself, how will people see it? How will Jesus react? Will I have the courage to actually do it? We're not told those questions. But what we are told is that this woman takes the bold step of becoming vulnerable and carries on with the deed. The way in which she acted really pleased and brought joy to Jesus' heart. We know that God's heart loves humility and sincerity. We know that from Scripture. So even though the act itself was so extravagant, right? So loud, if you want. The spirit with which this act was performed must have been one of humility and sincerity. So there's bravery, there's sincerity as this woman goes through with this deed. She offered to Jesus the gift that she had, and Jesus loved it. Let us now consider the people that were present, the witnesses, the people that saw this happen, take place, including, of course, the disciples. When it comes to this woman and what she has to offer, they simply do not understand. And because they do not understand what's going on, they default into rejecting this gift. This passage doesn't tell us whether they were sincere about their observations regarding the better use of the money. It was about a year's worth of wages, right, this gift that she gave. But what we do know is that they arrogantly seem to think that they know what's best. And they're ready to tell this woman. So they don't simply reject this gift. They rebuke this woman harshly for giving this gift. They do not understand. Let us now consider Jesus. What does Jesus do in this time, in this occasion? He welcomes the gift. He sees beauty in the gift. He calls his gift something beautiful, something good. And he protects the gift from the harsh rebukes of others. It is important to notice that what seemed odd or inappropriate was actually what was completely necessary. The people and the disciples didn't know, and they didn't understand. We don't know if the woman's actions were instinctively wise. You know, she did it by instinct. Or that maybe she truly was ahead of the disciples in her understanding. Maybe she understood what Jesus said when he said that the anointed one must suffer many things. The point is that in this very difficult moment of Jesus, for Jesus, when he's being surrounded by death and betrayal, what this woman did was not only extremely beautiful, but also extremely appropriate. Mark tells us that she has, in fact, gone to the heart of things, cutting through the male objections on the one hand, and through and contrasting with the male plots on the other hand. I really want to share something else about Jesus' response to this gift. I didn't notice it for a long time. And then I noticed that what Jesus does, and it really brings joy to my heart. See, when the dark clouds of betrayal and death are closing in on Jesus, he uses this moment that this woman created to speak hope. Remember, Jesus says, when the good news will be proclaimed, wherever the good news will be proclaimed throughout the world. So in this dark moment, Jesus is saying like, oh, by the way, the good news will be proclaimed throughout the world. So he is going to suffer. He is going to be killed and betrayed. But he speaks of hope in this dark moment. In Mark's story, in the gospel, there is not a hint of denying or ignoring true darkness. But that because there is no ignoring of true darkness, true hope comes shining through. That's why it's real hope. And not just a pumped up happiness, right? Just smile, everything will be okay. No, there is an acknowledgement of darkness and there is a speaking of hope in that moment. What a beautiful gift this unnamed woman gave Jesus. What a beautiful gift she gave us all by creating a moment in which Jesus could speak hope. Let me share with you how this story is impacting my life, and a little bit to expand on the question that you asked me earlier. As Susana told you, we are working in leadership formation in Bolivia. And this has a lot to do, we've been inspired by this story, to affirm, especially the young and women, the sense in them that they are gifted, that they have gifts to contribute. Also, we are discovering or we are fighting the temptation to reduce leadership to having a vision and effectively communicating that vision to others so that they may follow you. We really are avoiding that, trying to avoid that reduction of what leadership is. Rather, we see leadership having more to do with discovering, nurturing, and protecting the gifts that other people have. Gifts given, by the way, by God himself. So that they can do and they can be all things that God is calling them to do and to be. That's how this story is shaping us. That's how it's shaping our ministry in Bolivia. And now to close, I would like to suggest some ways in which you can appropriate this story. The obvious thing is that, like this woman in the story, you have gifts to offer, each one of you. Now, it takes courage to offer them. We talked about that, how giving makes us vulnerable. But you are called to do so. You are called to be brave like this woman. Each one of us is called to be brave like this woman. Another point is that other people in the church have gifts, not just us, right? And we are called to not only acknowledge that, but we are called to see beauty in the gifts that other people offer. And just like Jesus did, to protect them. The way in which we offer our gifts is not a minor detail. Remember how Jesus censors the Pharisees because the Pharisees do their works in order to be seen by men, right? The deed of the woman who anointed Jesus is extravagant. So you think, well, how come Jesus censors these people for doing things out loud and for everyone to see them? And he sees beauty in what this woman does, even though it's so extravagant and lavish. Well, the spirit in which we offer the gifts matters a lot. It's as important as the gift itself that we offer. And let's learn from Jesus to speak hope into a situation. Let us take his example then of seeing beauty in the gifts that other people have. Let us take the example of the woman and offer the gifts that we have and create opportunities then to speak hope into dark situations that the city might be living through, that the nation might be living through. And in that way, we will truly become disciples of Jesus. This is our prayer for our lives, and this is our prayer for you. And as we live into partnership, we hope that we can encourage one another in this path. God bless.